Okay, you're listening to WXYC, broadcasting from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, on 89.3 FM. My name's Tim Carlos. I'm going to be co-hosting the Global Music Show here for the next hour, which is brought to you from the African Studies Center here at UNC. And I'm going to move straight on and play a piece of music relating to this evening's show, and then I'll explain more about what's going on and introduce our co-host. So thanks very much for listening. You're listening to WXYC, broadcasting from Chapel Hill on 89.3. My name's Tim Carlos. You're listening to the Global Music Hour here, brought to you from the African Studies Centre at UNC. And today I have with me Chris Lee, Professor of African History.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
So what have we just been listening to?
Well, today's show is focusing on Abdullah Ibrahim, the South African jazz musician. And what we just heard is a recording from 1969 that he recorded actually in Copenhagen. And it's a song called Brother Joe from Kilimanjaro. At least I think it should be pronounced that way. And in any case, one of the reasons I chose that piece is that essentially it's coming from a period when he was involved with other jazz musicians in New York City as part of the free jazz movement, persons like John Coltrane, etc. So I wanted to start with a piece that situated Abdullah Ibrahim, not necessarily in the South African context, but in the context of the world of jazz as a whole.
Right, okay.
So
a phenomenal musician, and such arresting music. And what first made you aware of his playing?
Well, something that I wanted to do today is first give an introduction to the listeners of the show, to the South African jazz scene. I'm guessing that many listeners are already acquainted with music from South Africa and music from the continent as a whole. However, taking a big step back, I think a lot of the ways in which, or one way in which, I think one perception of African music is essentially that it sounds like reggae, or it is reggae, something like that, some variation of that. So
right.
The first thing I'm trying to do is basically diversify that perspective by saying, well, we can't essentialize African music as being, equivalent to one form or an extension of a world music form that we've all listened to. Nothing, obviously, there's nothing wrong with reggae, but there's a lot more to African music than that. The other aspect that I wanted to introduce through Abdullah Ibrahim, is that is basically the idea that when we think of jazz, and specifically when we think of American jazz, I think it's important to think of American jazz as really being one half of a transatlantic whole. That is to say that I think South African jazz and other jazz forms found on the continent are crucially important to the history of jazz. And moreover, it's important to think about South African jazz as developing essentially at the same time as American jazz. There wasn't a tremendous time lag between, say, the development of jazz in New Orleans during the 1920s and 30s and the development of marabi music, or what's essentially marabi being a term for somewhat equivalent to jazz. Marabi music in South Africa, in the South African townships, by black musicians, again during the 1920s and 1930s. Louis Armstrong was equally important and equally popular in South Africa during the same period that he was popular in the United States.
I mean, I know that Louis Armstrong visited South Africa.
Yeah.
When was it? When did he go?
That's a good question. I don't know. But
okay.
I know that a number of American jazz musicians did make trips, tours to South Africa during the first half of the 20th century.
Right.
So it is important, once again, to think about the jazz world as being this transnational, transatlantic community. And
right.
That's one of the main points I want to make with this show. The next song that I'll be playing, in fact, is a song that many listeners should be familiar with. If anyone has seen, the Disney movie The Lion King, they'll recognize the melody. Following that, I'll be playing an example of this Marabi township jazz music, and then I'll follow that with a piece by Abdullah Ibrahim. And through the sequence of three songs, I hope to demonstrate essentially the evolution of South African jazz from the late 1930s up until the 70s. That's a huge leap, but I'll talk about that transition. Hopefully the musical logic will come through as they're played.
Okay, well, let's move on with some music now. You're listening to WXYC. This is the Global Music Hour. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You're listening to WXYZ, broadcasting on 89.3 FM. The show that you're listening to is brought to you from the African Studies Centre here at UNC. My name's Tim Carlos. I have with me Professor Chris Lee. Chris, can you tell me what we were just listening to?
Well, we were just listening to two songs from the mid-20th century that basically I wanted to play just to give a sense of what South African jazz is like. The first song is the melody, a song that I assume many people in the United States are familiar with, since it's been played in movies like The Lion King, the Disney's Lion King. But in any case, it's the original is from South Africa. The recording you just heard is by Solomon Landa's original Evening Birds. The original title of the song is Mbube, which in Zulu means lion. And, of course, in the United States, that melody was popularized by Pete Seeger and the Weavers and others such as the Kingston Trio under the title The Lion Sleeps Tonight. So I wanted to use that as an example showing basically the ways in which South African music has, in fact, influenced American music. The second track that was played is a song entitled Clarinet Quella that I think gives a sense of perhaps it's a sound and melody through the clarinet that approximates what we tend to think of jazz. And that was performed by Kippi Moketsi and the Marabi Kings. Again, Marabi music being essentially a South African form of jazz or equivalent to jazz insofar that it's a creole of indigenous music forms and traditions along with African-American jazz traditions and European classical forms, that kind of thing. So I hope those two tracks give a sense of what the South African music and jazz scene specifically were like during the 1940s and 50s. The next song I'll be playing is a song specifically by Abdullah Ibrahim, and I actually want to stop here and sort of explain who Abdullah Ibrahim is.
Please do.
I've been mentioning his name, but I haven't said much about him. Essentially, Abdullah Ibrahim is he's still alive. He's the leading jazz artist in South Africa today, but he's had a fascinating life that intersects with not only the music we just heard that was from the Johannesburg area, the Soweto and the townships like Sophiatown in the Johannesburg area, but he's also he went into exile in 1962 and had a lot of interaction with jazz musicians internationally. But to take a step back, since I'll be talking a bit about that later in the show. He was born in 1934 in Cape Town, in a part of Cape Town known as Kensington. He did not come from a wealthy or middle class background, and like most Black South Africans, he was a member of the working class. His mother was an organist for a local African Methodist Episcopal Church. So, at a very early age, he was exposed to music, and obviously. Or maybe not obviously, but that early influence steered him towards becoming a pianist. And you'll also hear in his later recordings that the kind of gospel influence that certainly originates with his mother being involved with the AME Church. In any case, he spent his childhood in Cape Town and eventually went into exile in 1962. 1962 is important insofar that it's 2 years after the Sharpeville massacre, when the apartheid government essentially shot a number of Black protesters in the township of Sharpeville outside of Johannesburg. And this was a turning point for a number of Black South Africans and those in the anti-apartheid struggle. Many went into exile. Including Abdullah Ibrahim, Nelson Mandela, and many leaders of the ANC were arrested during this period. You had the Rivonia trial and eventually Mandela going into prison to Robben Island. So this was a very fraught time. And and Ibrahim at this time went into exile. Actually, I should take a step back to pulling back the layers a bit. Abdullah Ibrahim wasn't known as Abdullah Ibrahim during this period. He was in fact known as Dollar Brand, and as we were
speaking to him while the music was playing. Essentially, this nickname is something of a mystery insofar that he was born Adolf Johannes Brand, but as a boy, he acquired the name Dollar Brand, and there are different explanations for this. One explanation is that there was a popular brand of cigarettes known as Dollar Brand cigarettes. The other explanation is that, in fact, during World War II or towards the end of in the early post-Second World War period, he socialized with a number of American GIs, getting jazz records from them, and they used to call him Dollar. So he acquired the name Dollar Brand.
I've read a number of accounts of him just spending a lot of time around the docks, just trying.
Yeah, the docks at Cape Town. Yeah,
trying to get 78 records from whoever.
Exactly, paying a dollar for them, I guess, presumably, or whatnot. But in any case, during the early part of his career, basically up until the late '60s, he converted to Islam in 1968. So prior to 68, he was known as Dollar Brand. In fact, I'll be playing some music a bit later that reflects this conversion to Islam. However, what I'd like to do now, rather than talk further, is play another song that is entitled Soweto, that is political insofar that he recorded it after 1976, 1976 being the year when the Soweto uprising occurred, and essentially initiated the second wave of anti-apartheid activism that eventually went on to end apartheid in 1994. This song, this track, can basically be seen as a response by Abdullah Ibrahim to the Soweto uprising, which he and many other Black South Africans found incredibly moving and important. The other importance to this track, too, is that it reflects the tradition that you just heard in the previous two tracks. That is to say, in the melodies and so forth, it really is a touchstone piece in terms of Abdullah Ibrahim returning to his roots, that is quite different from the track that began the show, which shows the influence of the American jazz scene on his work. So the next song is Soweto.
Okay. You're listening to WXYC, broadcasting on 89.3 FM. You're listening to WXYC, broadcasting on 89.3 FM. It's just after 5.30, Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Global Music Show, brought to you from the African Studies Centre here at UNC. My name's Tim Carlos, and I have with me Professor Christopher Lee, who I'm going to pass over to now. Chris, could you talk to me?
We just heard a track called Soweto by the South African jazz musician Abdullah Ibrahim. And as I mentioned before, this recording was made
after the Soweto uprising of 1976 in South Africa, and in that sense, it was Ibrahim's response to that particular moment in South African history, which, as we all know, proved to be very important in terms of turning the tide of the anti-apartheid movement, gaining traction against the apartheid government. So that was Ibrahim's musical response to that historical moment. It is important to like many South African artists and writers during the 20th century and during the apartheid period, which was from 1948 to 1994, Abdullah Ibrahim was very politically minded and, involved, maybe not directly in organizational politics, but certainly like most black South Africans, definitely had strong sentiments with the black freedom struggle in South Africa. And so one of the ways he expressed that sense of identity and affiliation was through his music. So the next two tracks I'm going to play are actually tracks that, in a sense, move away from more transparent political agenda and, in a sense, reflect what I would call the Cape jazz scene, of which Abdullah Ibrahim is a part. As I mentioned before, it's in a sense hard to categorize Abdullah Ibrahim insofar that his name has changed. He converted Islam in 1968. He's had a tremendous amount of international experience going into exile in 1962 and essentially being in exile till off and on until the early 90s. And he's now back in Cape Town. But having said that, he's very much identified with the Cape jazz scene. And it is important to mark a distinction between the kind of jazz you find in the Johannesburg area. That is the kind of music I played earlier. Abdullah Ibrahim for sure was influenced by that music, but he also helped cultivate a style of music that people refer to as Cape Jazz. And actually, in the post-apartheid period, he—that is, since 1994—he's helped organize what is now known as the Jazz Orchestra. So he's a very important figure within the city of Cape Town itself. The two songs I'm going to play are, one is essentially his signature song, which essentially, what I mean by that is it's a track that you tend to find on many of his recordings. It's very popular, and it's called The Mountain of the Night. And the title itself, it works at two levels, essentially a metaphorical level. Referring to the night, the hours of the night as being a mountain that one climbs and passes over every day. But then also the mountain of the night also refers to essentially Table Mountain, the mountain that rests at the center of Cape Town and really defines its landscape and the city itself. The second track is a song called We Are Leaving Today. These are both off of an album called South Africa that came out in 1986. So during this process of political transition, apartheid wasn't over, but certainly the anti-apartheid movement was gaining tremendous speed, and the end of apartheid, in a sense, was in sight. So
where were these particular cuts recorded?
This was actually recorded in West Germany, and I should say too that. Abdullah Ibrahim, well, I mentioned this before perhaps, but Abdullah Ibrahim is, not only is he very popular in South Africa, but he's very popular in Europe. And unfortunately, he isn't that well known in the United States. Certainly, he has been well known in the United States insofar that, in fact, one of the key steps in the expansion of his career was that he was discovered, quote-unquote, by Duke Ellington, in Switzerland during the 1960s, shortly after he left South Africa to go into exile. And he came to the United States with to work with Duke Ellington to record with him. And while he was in the United States, he also met other musicians and worked with them, musicians such as John Coltrane, Ornette Coleman, and others. So certainly he's well-known among jazz circles. But broadly speaking, I would say that he isn't well-known, and it's a real shame. It would be like South Africans never having heard of John Coltrane. I think the same sort of logic works in the case of Abdullah Ibrahim. I think it's he's a real treasure, and it's a shame that many jazz listeners in the United States are not familiar with his work. And I think I should, to offer something of a defense, his work isn't, in terms of record labels, his work hasn't been as widely available in the United States as it has been in Europe. So there's also that distribution issue that tends to plague a number of musicians from the continent of Africa, and continues to be a problem of this day, having record label support that allows for their music to reach American audiences. So,
well, thanks for sharing that with us. Shall I cue the music?
Yeah.
Okay, you are listening to WXYC. Thanks for listening. listening to WXYC, broadcasting on 89.3 FM. This is the global music show that you're listening to. You just heard a piece of music from Abdullah Ibrahim. And my name's Tim Carlos. I have with me today Chris Lee. Chris, could you lead me on from this point?
Sure, no problem. I should actually make a correction, too. I mentioned before that it was recorded in West Germany. In fact, it was recorded at the Montreux Jazz Festival. So, first, a correction about what you just heard, the 17th Montreux Jazz Festival. And again, the tracks you just heard, the first being The Mountain of the Night, which in a sense is a signature piece for Abdel Ibrahim. Again, sort of capturing a playful quality that I think you'll find in a lot of Cape jazz works that reflects the city of Cape Town, a very fantastic city that really stands on its own as being a part of South Africa and a part of the continent of Africa, but also being very much a city that is unique in its own right. I often tell people if you can imagine a city that's one half San Francisco, one half New Orleans, then that approximates Cape Town. And yet Cape Town is still its city in its own right. It shouldn't be it shouldn't be defined by these American examples. In any case, that song is, I think, a real signature piece from the Cape Town jazz scene. The second song that you heard is We Are Leaving Today, and with a vocal by Johnny Klassens. And I think that piece also, gives... we'll give listeners a sense of the kind of jazz that is coming out of the Cape Town area. To transition to the next piece, I should perhaps make a brief comment by saying it's impossible to pack in the life of Abdel Ibrahim within a single hour and talk about that life, right. And play the music. There's a limited collection of his music here at the radio station, and I thought there wouldn't be enough music, but in fact, there's plenty of music for a 60-minute show. So, if anything, I would like to encourage listeners to seek out Abdel Ibrahim on their own and discover his music. And
on that note, are there other musicians originating from Cape Town?
Oh well, gosh, there are several people that. That Abdel Ibrahim is considered with in terms of defining Cape jazz. I would say if I were to point to one other person who, in fact, Ibrahim is recorded with often, is his name is Basil Kutsia, and he plays tenor sax, and he's also a very popular and important figure. But really, I guess. I don't want to necessarily steer people in one direction or the other. They're, jazz fans, obviously, can be very fickle people. And I just hope by listening to this one person that you'll have a sense of the kind of jazz that exists in Cape. And I encourage listeners to, find their own favorites and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So the next track, and unfortunately the final track, is a song called For John Coltrane. And the reason why I chose this is not only does it, again, gesture, not only does it show Abdel Ibrahim's citation of John Coltrane as an important influence, but in fact they were friends for quite some time before Coltrane's death in 1967. And it also points again, to this broader idea that I think we have to think about jazz as being a transatlantic phenomenon. We can't locate it to the United States or we can't locate it to South Africa, but really we're talking about a set of musicians and a body of music that is very much an interactive one with artists from across the Atlantic world and elsewhere participating in the jazz music scene. The other important thing about this track is that it actually has a vocal by Abdel Ibrahim, and I think when you listen to it, he has a beautiful voice. And I find this track to be very moving. And again, a eulogy in many ways for John Coltrane. This was recorded in 1991, and I hope you enjoy it.
Okay. So thanks very much for those of you who've tuned in and listened to this show. I'd like to thank Chris Lee from the African Studies, who's a professor of African History rather, here at UNC, and the African Studies Center here at UNC for bringing the show to us. I'm going to play this track, the track that Chris has just been talking about. Thank you very much for listening. It's about 5 minutes to 6 o'clock. It's Friday evening, and you're listening to WXYC on 89.3 FM.
This refrain spinning round in my brain echoes of John Coltrane. Oh, that wondrous sound. Be around. Gentle storm, perfect form, John Coltrane. Love supreme, giant step, searching dream, echoes of John Coltrane. Oh, that wondrous sound. Earthly blue, heaven bound, gentle storm, perfect form, John Coltrane. Eastern sky, deep southern ocean sigh, echoes of John Coltrane. Oh, that wondrous sound will always be around. Gentle storm, bright star on John Coltrane. Thank you.
It is about 6 o'clock, and you're tuned into WXYC Chapel Hill, 89.3 FM. You've been listening to the Global Music Show, and I'm going to be with you for...